Blog Talk Radio.
And Sometimes Gals with your host, Matt Marrero, along with
Ashley Colfan. What's up?
Hey, Ashley. Hey, look, this is why you see, okay, so I put on this song, right, for a few reasons. First off, we have Ashley Colfan back on the show. Haven't had her since Total Divas, which was actually a really good episode for a series that's not actually as good as our review of it was. And also, because Damien Sandow, you are a big fan. I'm a big fan as well, but, I mean, you loved Damien Sandow when he was the, you know, intellectual savior of the unwashed masses, and now he's whatever anyone wants him to be. Mostly
yeah.
A Sonic employee. Yeah. So, and of course today we're doing SmackDown, and what an eventful SmackDown it was. Here's the best thing in the world. So I wanted to also invite Ashley on because I wanted her to kind of breathe life into our podcast. Because if you've been listening to most of our Raws with myself and Satish Ram, things I feel as if have gotten very cynical, and I feel as if it's like, no, we needed the peppy, just the life of Ashley Colfan to just come in here and just make an amazing episode with me, you know, with myself, and hopefully if Satish Ram can make it on Sunday, she'll also be, you know, doing the Battleground pay-per-view with us, and just how crazy would it be? And then here you are, and I think SmackDown just killed her. Are you okay? Did SmackDown kill you, Ashley?
Yeah, I'm pretty dead. It put me to sleep. What a boring
episode. Yeah, no, she's been yawning. We've been on the phone for a bit, just, you know, just recapping whatever before the show, and she was yawning. And I want to make it known that SmackDown put Ashley Colfan to sleep. Mind you, if you know Ashley Colfan, if you've heard her on the Total Divas episode, you should totally check out. She does not get put to sleep easily. You know, if it's a really good wrestling event, she will be sitting there, just, you know, just wide-eyed, just bushy-tailed, wanting to see the action. And sadly, the SmackDown didn't deliver, which is strange because. We are going to delve into, you know, different bits of the, you know, of the actual show itself, but just talking about it overall, what do you think didn't deliver? You know, because usually, I agree with you, but usually SmackDown actually does deliver. It's not like Raw, but it's entertaining. But for some reason, tonight SmackDown was kind of lacking.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Maybe like lack of interesting little plots or something. I don't know. But
I would argue, actually. Because here's the thing, even though I'm not a big fan of the whole tiny match aspect, I would argue that there were too many long matches, and then the ones that were tiny were way too tiny, short length, and so there weren't, because usually we would have seen at least another two matches, but when you actually look at the match count, we only had, I believe, about like six matches on the card.
Yeah,
which is a huge issue
point.
When you have a two-hour show. And we realized, you know, it's like it was the 30-minute mark when we both looked at the clock and went, damn, the tag match is not finished yet. A really good match, but the first tag match had not finished yet, which is crazy when you think about it. You know, where one match took half an hour on a show that's supposed to be 2 hours long. That's pretty, you know, I feel as if they had kind of a lack of superstars tonight.
Yeah,
which is,
that makes
which is
sense.
Strange. Which is strange because, sadly, I was unable to catch main event, which is really crazy for me because I'm usually the one. But thankfully, you were able to catch it. Now, The Miz fought Sheamus. Was that the first match of the night on main event?
No, that was the last one.
So it was the main. So now, something that I find even scarier, I think, is the fact that not only is there talent lacking for this SmackDown show, but apparently they also had to reuse the talent. So I don't know, maybe if they move the tag match to the first match, because, you know, in editing they can do that. But if we're to believe filmed straight, right? Because, you know, remember, main event is actually shown first before SmackDown, because SmackDown is aired on Tuesdays and gets recorded on Tuesdays. Therefore, that the main event was Sheamus Miz, and then if we're to be believed, their order, right after that was the first match the tag match.
That's
with
cool.
Sheamus, Ziggler, Miz, and that is not cool. That is a lot of work on these
cruel.
Guys. Oh, that is cruel. Yes, thank you. Sorry, I didn't hear you. Yeah, correct. You are. It is cruel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very interesting, and it's funny because you would think, oh well, the guys are they worked hard. Let's switch them out. Nope. Which kind of just begs the question. I mean,
I don't
what
get
are they,
that logic.
I really don't get that. It's funny how they're doing this right around the time that that Daniel Bryan guy, the WWE mm-hmm. World Heavyweight Championship guy, he gets injured. We have Bray Wyatt with, it's a minor injury, but still that, oh God. You and I were actually at the Madison Square Garden event, and the second
mm-hmm.
we saw Bray Wyatt bleeding, we did not think that was supposed to happen.
No, definitely not.
And then later on we heard that, if you don't know, Ric Flair, when he was punching him at the event, he left his ring on. So he actually cut Bray Wyatt's upper eyelid.
Woo!
Yeah, right? Just
real
the
smart.
Most appropriate. Yeah. That's what Flair really enjoys, just busting people open when he shouldn't and, harassing women. It's just, that's just his thing. That if he can do both
Speaking
of those
of
in
which,
a night, he's good.
Can I just say something? If
right.
I can segue into something.
Okay.
Okay, so it's no secret that there's, an issue with, I guess you could say, sexism
right.
in the WWE. So Michael Cole made a statement that really stuck out to me, and I was like, come on. And maybe I'm being a little sensitive about it.
No, I would love to hear this.
Okay. So during the Sheamus and Miz match, how Miz kept on trying to, cover his face because he's like, oh, it's the moneymaker or whatever.
Yes.
Michael Cole made a comment talking about Sheamus, and he said, and I wrote it down, so I didn't forget it. He literally said, Sheamus is a man. He's not worried about his face. Am I being sensitive over that, or does that rub you a little
honestly,
wrong way, too?
I would argue that you're being sensitive about that, if only because later on in the night we got really short Divas matches. That I would argue should be the focus of your rage. I mean, hey, I understand what you mean.
Yeah, but
even
Marie was in that match, so I don't care.
But that's one of the matches. Remember, it's only one of the matches. The other one should have been a lot longer. The other Divas
match.
Fair enough. I mean, I admit, I see your point, but I mean, I would just assume that that's like someone like Vince McMahon in his ear. I would assume anyway.
That's
because
what I thought it was too, but he said it, so I had to reference him. I had
right,
to say it was
course,
Michael
course,
Cole,
course.
But
oh,
I knew you were going to say that it was probably Vince, and I totally agree that it was probably him. But it's kind of like, little comments like that. They don't help anything. I'm just saying.
I know. So the comment specifically was, oh, Sheamus is a man, so he doesn't care about his face compared to, oh, of course, trying to say
he's
that the Miz is like a girl.
He's calling Miz a girl.
Right. But there's nothing wrong with
and
that.
No, Miz isn't a girl for that. Miz is just, to care about your face like that isn't a girly thing. It's just like, you're in a fight, it's a bitchy thing. And bitch does not equal girl. And
right,
that's the problem. Just why it rubbed me the wrong way. But you're right, it was probably Vince, and totally being oversensitive.
I only say, I understand if only, you see, that's the thing, I understand, I like your perspective, I mean, of course you can have Satish and I, say a lot of things about, the way little lines like that will come out, but I that's the thing. From you, I can understand why you feel that way. Being a female fan, wanting to see, I even told you the other day, I said, honestly, if you want to watch really good, women's wrestling, you should just definitely go to Shimmer. you know, and just really just kind of just not really move away from WWE completely, but when it comes to female wrestling, you know, I feel as if it's going to take a while for them to actually, for some of the people in the back to wisen up and realize, hey, you actually have a really talented roster. I mean, you and I got to see Charlotte live, which was amazing. We saw Natalia. Nikki's getting better. I mean, she's not WWE. I don't think she should be the women's champion or anything, but she's getting better. You know, we have Paige. We have AJ. We have Summer Rae. We have Layla. You know, we have a lot of decent women, I would say. Even Alicia Fox, you know. Naomi, who for some reason hasn't been on recently, as, you know, I mean, they were on Main Event, mind you, but still. You know, we have a lot of divas, I think, that are actually very talented. So it's a bit upsetting that some of them had to be on this Raw for very short matches compared to most of the, you know, the male matches. But speaking of, since you brought up the first match, I would like to say, other than that comment, putting that comment aside, I would like to say that that match was actually very entertaining. Because,
I mean, yeah, it's fun. Like, it's always funny to see, besides all their awesome movesets and everything, I think it's always funny to see Miz being a horrible, horrible person. It angers me, but, I mean, it's all entertaining to me.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, I think it works because, you know, he's trying to be this heel that makes you want to hate him completely. So for you to for him to incite that response from you means that, you know, it's working. Also, if we're talking about something that you want to jump in, you know, and talk about with us, please, you know, jump in. The number is 718-664-9468. Again, the number is 718-664-9468. So, you know, right now we're on the tag team match. You want to talk about that? You know, come on in. But, yeah, what I think was really entertaining about it was, and what's really funny, I think, is I was just, my notes kept on changing with every single person who came in. Because at first I thought, oh, it's, you know, it's this guy versus this guy. Wait a minute. Okay, so now it's a triple threat. Wait a minute. Now it's a tag team. Because they didn't really explain what was going on. They were just like, and then here's that guy. And here's that guy. And here's that guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, because I thought we were going to have a Fatal 4-Way, which in my opinion would have been a lot better. But I have to say, this tag match was a lot more enjoyable than I would have thought. I mean, you know, I think the fact that Miz was so dedicated, he's getting better at what he's doing. You know, I know we're going to have Satish Ram on our ass. He'll probably be calling in right now just telling us, just he couldn't make it today, but still just say, no, Miz is terrible. But, you know, he's getting better, though. He really is, because he's really dedicated to his role as the heel. So it feels as if, no matter what, you know, he could just be walking, you know, like, down the, you know, like, in front of the camera just doing a promo, and immediately someone comes up to him and he kind of shields his face, like, oh, you should, like, you just get away. You know, it automatically, instinctively, not as an act, like, it just feels like it just comes natural to him now, which is good, you know? I mean, heck, that's acting. Right? There was a point where this guy didn't, you know, couldn't really act. So the fact that he's, you know, it seems a bit more real now coming from him, it's a big improvement, you know? And, of course, we have Dolph, who was on fire tonight, personally. I mean, maybe it's because we haven't seen him in a while, but just something about him tonight made me think, you know what? I of course, we always root for him as the Intercontinental.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
always
as
Dolph, sorry.
Yeah, of course. I mean, everyone, the crowd was cheering, just let's, you know, we want Dolph. When Sheamus is in there thinking, hey, I'm fighting a match, you know? Like,
I wonder how they feel.
That's the thing, like, it's really funny, where it's just, he's sitting there, it's like, hey, I'm on his side. Like, you know, if I win, I win for us. We want Dolph! Get out!
We don't want you to win for us. We'd rather you lose.
Yeah, right? Like,
take a loss rather than you win, you pale mother. I'm sorry.
It's so true. It's just, and it's funny because you love Sheamus a lot more than I do.
I do. I have no problem with Sheamus.
No, but
this is a random guy in the audience talking.
Yeah, exactly. So no, it's really funny how it's just. Yeah, I felt like that's how the crowd was, which is we'd rather the Miz pin Sheamus rather than Sheamus pinning anyone else in that match. Just So you just, what? Just like, I just want Dolph in there. All right, that's all. You know. But seriously though, there was a, you know, again, I don't know, something about all these guys together, it just really made an entertaining match, you know? But again, I do have to say though, as I mentioned before, when we got to the, you know, to the end of the match, obviously we didn't know it was the end, you know, because, you know, it was, we have Miz kick out of the Famouser, and then I'm sitting there thinking, oh no, it's 8:24, you know? Why, like, we're basically at the half hour, you know, we're half an hour into a two-hour SmackDown. We gotta move, please. Because, again, I love the match, but there was, again, there wasn't a lot going tonight, which is weird, because not only is this, you know, have SmackDowns actually been good as of late, this is the, what they call the go-home show. Right, Ashley? So this is the paper. This is the show right before the pay-per-view that's the most, that's supposed to make you think, I need Battleground. And I don't think it did that, which is weird because, yes, we're going to watch Battleground. We are, you know, you and I like WWE, you know, like Anderson. We're going to watch Battleground. We're going to, you know, talk about it right after Battleground is over. But just something about... something about this show just did not make me think, you know, like if I wasn't a huge fan and this was actually me thinking like, oh, maybe I should buy the network or not. This was not a good SmackDown.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, like, this
please,
was...
Please, I had a little notebook in front of me. It's just filled with doodles. Like, I'm trying to watch this and I'm like, oh, let me draw stuff. Like, I literally I do SpongeBob and Patrick. They look terrible. But I'm watching
the best
SmackDown.
Tag team in the WWE.
Like, let me watch wrestling. La la la. Never mind. This isn't keeping my attention anymore.
That is actually upsetting for you, especially, and the fact that
for
it made
me.
You tired, yet you still had enough energy to draw.
Well,
that was very
earlier in the.
No, I understand. No,
I went through stages.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay, Ashley. It's okay. But something I want to say, though, we don't have that many JBL quotes tonight, but I want to quote just one. I have, like, one
Margo.
Quote that I... Yeah, Margo. Funaga looks like you at your high school prom, Margo. Dancing all alone.
That was funny.
I felt so bad because...
That.
No, I wanted to laugh, but then I felt really bad because Michael Cole just said nothing. And I don't know if they edited out
words.
Well,
no, there's a lot of the times where he just doesn't respond to him. Or
I know,
it sounds like he doesn't.
I know, but, like, this was just one of those times where they didn't really, you know, where it just, like, because this is one of those times where, like, it was just him literally, like, just stabbing Michael Cole. Like, literally, just, like, with a knife that JBL somehow managed to sneak through security. And Michael Cole just went, one day. You know, just one day.
I wish we could have seen the look he gave him.
I know. That actually makes me sad. That look would have been priceless. Just, you know what, John? But anyway, also,
well,
speaking of Seth Rollins, because that's a perfect segue. Speaking of Seth Rollins, I don't know if you knew this. On Raw, right, it looked as if Seth Rollins was injured, right? And many of you may actually still think he's injured, because what happened was during the main event on Raw, he actually was holding his knee once during the match. He held it again, and they put up the X sign. The X sign being the actual real life, you know, no story, just actual real life sign of, okay, this guy's injured, shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people were actually going on Twitter about it right after Raw, just, oh, God, he's injured, or God, he's injured. What if it's even if it's tiny, oh, I think it might be tiny, but, like, you know, worst case, like, what could happen? What if he's not at Battleground? You know, can they afford to lose Seth Rollins right now? And then apparently, right, this is great, by the way, we actually learned that Seth Rollins is so good at selling, it actually made the officials there concerned.
Wow.
Yeah, so of course, you know, and again, so it was meant to be storyline anyway, so that's why tonight he says, oh yeah, I can't compete because, you know, my knee, whatever, but it's really funny how it's just, at the time, it was just, we really thought that he was injured, and we really thought, oh God, not again, because think about it, right, we have the WWE World Heavyweight Championship holder, right, we have the Intercontinental Champion, and now we have the guy holding the Money in the Bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many? And then Sheamus just walks around completely unscathed, as if he's the one committing he's the one doing the human sacrifices. Just, I need to be on top, fella. Like, he's just walking around completely unscathed, you know. And then Sheamus takes off his Sheamus suit to reveal he's John Cena walking around completely unscathed. You know, it's just
basically no. That's like the whole secret of the WWE.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Sheamus
honestly.
Is actually John Cena.
Pretty much, yeah. That's why his Irish accent sounds like that. Where it's like, doesn't that sound very, like, overly Irish? Like, as if someone's mocking Ireland? Oh, because it's John Cena doing an Irish accent.
And John Cena's racist.
Yep, that's that's the that if you can take anything from today's WWE, SmackDown review, is that the not WWE's racist? No, John Cena's racist because he's actually in a Sheamus suit because Sheamus doesn't exist, and he's actually doing an Irish accent. Let's forget the fact that they've actually. Let's forget the fact that the two of them have actually been in matches before. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all smoke and mirrors. No one actually think about it. We were at the WWE event, right? And we never even looked at the ring. We always looked at the Titantron. They're just CGI'd in. If you actually looked at the ring for 5 seconds, anyone at the live shows, you would see that John Cena and Sheamus have actually not been in the same ring together. It's all CGI. That's what it is. You know, it can't be any clearer than that, honestly, right? But moving forward with something that actually happened, we had Eva Marie versus Layla with Nikki Bella as special referee. Here's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's a cool concept, but it's just funny.
Eva Marie versus who?
I'm sorry. Who did I say? Oh, I said Layla.
You said
I'm
Layla.
Sorry. I have Layla typed here because things are bad. Alicia Fox is what mattered, right? Thank you for catching that, by the way. Alicia
mm-hmm.
Fox. What mattered, though, what matters here, more than that, right? But thank you, though. What matters is the fact that, again, cool concept, but at the same time, if you didn't get that this was going to happen, you were either, you're either three people. You're 90, you're 5, or you're tired.
Me.
You know, right? There you. But I'm assuming you knew
it
was coming, right?
And I still got
it. Yeah, exactly, and you still got it, so I don't know. But that's the thing, we're just, guys, again, cool, it's one of those things where, like, on paper, it sounds really cool, right? Because I will admit, yeah, it does sound cool. It's like, but it's just, it's so obvious and out there and just that it's not even considered a match, but it lasted long enough to try to pretend to be a match. And I think that's what sucks, where if you had just removed that completely, you could have dedicated that time to the amazing Divas Tag Team match that happened later. Because it was pretty good, and it could have been
even
better.
Why do they even try with Eva Marie anymore?
Here's the thing. I got to be real with you. And it's hard to defend Eva Marie, but I got to be real with you. She's getting better. I think the only issue is that for some reason, okay, they, remember, if you remember Total Divas, because, you know, you and I have watched Total Divas before, they pushed her without having her in NXT pretty much at all, right? So they pushed her without really having her much on NXT. Then what they ended up doing was they were like, okay, shit, she's really bad. And they kind of stopped having her on NXT, and then, you know, she was having her on the main roster. She was on, you know, Total Divas, and I assume that's where she was able to train more, you know, on the background. She's been on NXT more recently. And then I guess they thought, oh, she must be better now. And then they're calling her back up, which, here's the thing. I think she's a good SmackDown, you know, diva. She's a good SmackDown, you know, wrestler. Because SmackDown, sadly, is thought of as, like, the B-show. Also, even main event, right? Not a good Raw, you know, wrestler. And that's the problem. Where she was on Raw with AJ Lee, and that was just, no, we don't need her there. And now she's on SmackDown again, just, a day later. And nothing in that match made you think, damn, like, Eva Marie is becoming amazing. Yes, she didn't have time.
Yeah, I know, and I want to like her.
And I think she has a really cool theme song, right? And she can play the part of the, you know, of the evil female kind of thing very well. But it's strange to have her. Well, first off, it's strange to have her say anything sexy. If you haven't seen the video yet of Eva Marie Makes Everything Hot, please go on YouTube and find it. She says catchphrases, and she makes them hot.
No, she doesn't.
The best there is.
Disclaimer.
The best there was. The best there ever will be. That's an actual quote, by the way. She didn't laugh at the end, but I did. So anyway.
I think
so,
the worst
yeah.
is yes.
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 Yes. I'm really shocked that she didn't go DX. I'm really shocked that she didn't just look in the camera and go, suck it. I mean, honestly. Honestly. Yes, thing. But anyway. And, of course, we had Stardust and the Goldust, that little promo, which was beautiful, by the way. I'm sure you liked it, but I was in love. I'm in love with Stardust. And
oh, yeah,
I mean,
me too. I think he's just a figment of, like, all of our imaginations, though. He doesn't exist.
That would be amazing, right? I want them to pull that. I want them to just – and I want them to pull it in a way that they end up – they go full out. I mean, they just go full out. Where when Cody Rhodes turns back, like, you know, he becomes Cody Rhodes again, and he just acts like nothing ever happened. We go on the network to find every single Stardust segment and Stardust match to have been removed.
That would be great. No, and it's replaced with Cody just being Cody.
Yeah, it's replaced with, like, a CGI, really bad-looking, like, Cody Rhodes face moving on Stardust's face. The entire outfit is still Stardust, but it's just a moving Cody face.
That'd be
anyway,
great.
we should actually get away from Nightmare Fuel. Oh, by the way, though, before we move on, I want to say, I don't know if you know this, but there's some rumors going around that Ring of Honor, some of the officials from Ring of Honor met with some of the officials from Marvel when they were in New York, and there might be some kind of weird team-up or something going on there. I have to be honest with you. I want Marvel to team up with WWE and write about the space adventures of Stardust and Goldust. Just say. How cool would that be?
That would be great.
That would be an amazing thing, wouldn't it? Like, they're just riding in, like, a ship that's just shaped like a star. Acting like nothing's... I think nothing's weird. Like, yeah, it's just pretty chill. You know? Oh,
that would
be
amazing.
So, Marvel, get on that. You know? I mean, if you're listening, all of Marvel, not just one employee, just all of Marvel, if you're listening, you know, get on that. But, and of course, we move on. Chris Jericho versus Luke Harper. How did you feel about this match?
I mean, it was good. I liked it. It was just, you know... It was kind of like SmackDown in general. But, I mean, I feel like it was one of the better ones.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I want to say it was just one of the best matches of the night, I feel. But it was just, I don't know, it's weird because I think something inside me, you know, and I hate to sound negative, but I felt as if we're going to see this match so much, right? Because obviously this match with, you know, Jericho versus Bray at the pay-per-view won't be their only match, right? So I'm just worried because it's like, I'm happy we've only seen this match once, but I'm just really worried about how many more times we're going to see it. Where, honestly, as crazy as it would have sounded, I would have been happy with another promo. You know? I would have been happy with something, which is something else. Because we have the match, which is good, and then we have the Usos running in, which I know they're trying to say, oh yeah, the Usos are fighting the Wyatt family again for the pay-per-view. But I swear to God, each and every time it happens, it just looks like they're trying to say, Usos need to help white man. Because it happens.
Yeah,
with Cena.
Whenever I see, I don't know, for me, whenever I see, like, the same people always coming to people's rescue,
right?
I feel like it's like, oh my God, I want attention. Like, I don't know, it's weird. I know it's supposed to be like, you know, in the storyline, like, no, we're buddies, but I don't know, to me, it's always like, oh, look how good of a guy I am. Oh my God, everyone has to love me now. I help you.
You have to help me next time.
I don't know. That's just what I
see that from John Cena, and I don't want to sound biased, but I see that. I see that from everything. That's the thing. No, it's because it just feels weird. Where it feels as if everything John Cena does, where like if he didn't have the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, and his girlfriend, right, you know, the Nikki Bella girl, you know, the girlfriend for a while now, if she for some reason could help him get it, he would definitely save her, right? During these last few, you know, like people just beating down on her, he would save her. But since he already has the titles, he just doesn't really need to care. And it's funny, because I want... Again, he's Superman, so I don't want him doing everything, obviously. But when it comes to people that he cares about, or, like, at least come to the save. Like, he hasn't even come to the save. Like, again, like, the Usos came to his save, you know, save him. And it's funny, because, you know, I understand why you'd say that, you know, because it sounds like that. But honestly, what I would say, right, is that it makes the Usos look weak in a weird way. Because... for a while, we haven't really had the Usos kind of stand out as tag team champions. You know, I think the only time we've really been able to enjoy them, really enjoy their work and enjoy who they are, was actually at the Madison Square Garden event, where we saw them for the tag team championships. They fought against Ryback and Cody Rhodes, well, Stardust and Goldust, which was a very good match, right? But on TV, though, it's mostly just, we've had a little bit of, okay, good, it's just the two Usos. But mostly it's just, and they're with John Cena for a really long time, and then when that was over, and now they're with Sheamus for a bit, and then that's over, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere today, it's just, and then they're running to Jericho's rescue. And it's like, damn it.
Yeah, you're right.
Guys, just stop it. You know, because Satish mostly said this, but I agree. You know, it makes you feel as if they're not as cool as they're supposed to be, because they're really cool. I mean, they're the Usos, for frick's sake. But,
yeah.
But anyway,
so
yeah.
Crazy.
I want that. Sorry. Here's the thing. Yeah, I know. It's okay. Don't worry. It's okay. But yeah. Hey, though, we got a good Coulter promo, which is nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
I always love him.
Yes, he's usually, he wasn't so good on Monday, and we talked about why, and you got to see. But, I mean, hell, he still usually has really good things to say, you know? The only thing that made me, taken aback a little bit, and I think we've talked about this before, you and I at least, the issue, right, is the fact that because Swagger in a way stood tall, you know, before the pay-per-view, kind of on both, shows, Raw and SmackDown, it worries me if only because now it kind of makes you feel as if, because, okay, before the pay-per-view, right, the person standing tall is usually the one that's going to lose, which is kind of interesting how the Usos kind of stood tall, as did Jericho in a way, right? But the ones who are standing tall, it's been changing over the years, but usually, right, the rule dictates that that's the person that's probably going to lose. We don't need Swagger losing. I'm not a big Swagger fan, but I'm not going to lie, I would be really upset if Rusev wins.
Yeah,
you know?
It doesn't sit well if he won,
yeah,
I got to say.
That's the thing. Yeah, like, I know it's heel heat, but who does he get to fight next? Right? Like,
yeah.
Who, because they finally given him his story, right? Where does it go from here? Because it doesn't go, like, it doesn't turn into, like, the, oh, like, where does it go from here? Like, all right, where, like,
no,
what
like,
are we
okay,
doing?
Okay, they
now?
Still hate America. Who's he going to fight next? He can fight
yeah,
someone else
like,
who decides to wave an American flag.
Like, what's going to happen? Are they going to need to, like, feed him to John Cena or something? Well, then again, no, SummerSlam's coming. So John Cena can't even fight him unless, for some reason, John Cena loses at this pay-per-view, which would be very confusing because it doesn't look like that's what's going to happen. But if for some reason John Cena loses, right, at this pay-per-view, what are they going to do? Just say, oh, yeah, John, you know, go fight Rusev. Like, that would be the worst thing in the world because basically what you're saying is, you know, Rusev can destroy everyone unless you're John Cena. You know, because all of a sudden, John
Nothing
Cena...
Nothing can destroy just, John Cena!
Yeah, nothing can destroy John. I once saw a gun break because of John Cena. Like, explain, Matt.
Chuck
well,
Norris
someone was
wept
holding,
at his
someone
feet.
What was that?
Sorry. I said Chuck Norris wept at his feet.
Yes, yeah, Chuck Norris wept at his feet. And the gun that the assassin was using on John Cena just collapsed. The gun just actually disassembled in front of John Cena. John Cena then looked down and he thanked the gun. And then he signed an autograph for the gun. It was very awkward. It was on the news.
See,
but
guns
anyway.
Don't kill people.
Yeah, no, guns don't kill people. You know, John Cena just buries them. But anyway, so ADR versus Kofi. I would argue that after a few little things, because again, I loved Harper versus Jericho, but I would say that ADR versus Kofi really did kind of, it was really fun, like letting Kofi get this all kind of offense. Really kind of made you feel good, you know, because I felt as if it was like, oh, it was a really nice pace, you know. It was actually, I would argue, it was the most fun match of the night. I
Kofi's
would say.
Always fun. I'm sorry.
No,
I
really
him.
Do like him. I really do. Yeah, he's really good at what he does, and I mean, I hate where he is right now, but, you know, what can you do, right? But what's funny, though, and I say funny in a really sad way, is that he lost this match, right? And I bring this up because he won with Big E on Main Event, as you mentioned to me before. On Main Event, he won with Big E, which surprised me. And then he loses, which just makes me sit there and think WWE just kind of sits there just nodding going, you know your place. You know? Like, mind you, I don't think he has a place. He shouldn't have a place, you know? He's just he's a mid-card guy, but he definitely has potential to, you know, like, win a title, damn it. But I feel that WWE just sitting there just like, yep, you know what you did. Black men winning something? No.
Shame on you.
Shame on you for being you, for being born. It's just, it's a terrible thing, but we just assume people in WWE just think that way. And hey, if you think, if you were once part of WWE, right, or you still are, and you think, wow, these guys know nothing, or, you know, and these gals know nothing, please, talk to us. You know, our email, thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com, is open for anyone to email us. You know, and of course, you know, we can get you on the show. We can do a, you know, dedicate a special show, you know, to just talking about what goes on behind the scenes, you know, to really kind of get a more of a, you know, a look into how WWE works. Because, you know, it, sadly, we don't know as much as some others might because, hey, you know, I mean, we don't work there, right? But we do see a lot, you know, from our perspective, and it's not that good sometimes, right? Where it's just like, you know, where Kofi, and it's funny because someone would say, well, no, Kofi is just, you know, a lower mid-carder. That's just what happens. And it's like, so that's what happens to Kofi and Big E. And, you know, and, no, it's, and R-Truth.
Yeah, I was going to say R-Truth.
And,
Xavier Woods is even lower.
You want to know something really funny? If, now I feel really bad because of my people. Where has Sin Cara been?
He's solving mysteries with Scooby-Doo.
That is, again, Marvel, do your job. just come along. No, actually, I'm pretty sure he's on NXT. But still, for a guy who's still pretty new, that's upsetting. You know, like Natalya has actually been around for a while now. You know, Tyson Kidd has been around for a while. Sin Cara has not. That's a problem, honestly. But anyway, we move forward, right? Let's keep on trucking through. And we have that Fandango thing, right, which is weird. Because I love that, you know, that we have the Fandango thing with Summer Rae and Layla, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how, actually, before I even talk about it, how did you feel about that?
About the match,
like
in general,
them actually saying
Summer Rae and Layla versus Fandango type thing?
No. Like the actual, like them actually just talking to him about the whole, you know, like that whole, you know, like, oh yeah, you know, we actually realized that you were just using us, and you know, we're not going to share you because we deserve better. How did you feel about that?
I don't know. It's not as fun. I don't know. Like, I feel like those types of, I feel like they're just supposed to be, like, the crazy girls, and he's supposed to be just shallow. I feel like they're just shallow already.
Right.
So just kind of, I don't know. I feel like it's not worth it to give them that much depth. Like, I don't know if that makes sense to you.
Oh, so you're saying that, but you do want depth, just these two, with the way their characters have been, they don't seem as if they need this kind of this face turn, right?
Yeah, no, it's out of nowhere. What, just because a guy screws you over, it's like, oh, we're three faces now. No, they should make girls crazier. What are you doing? It's
no,
weird to
yeah,
me.
It's funny. It's very interesting to hear that from you because it's funny because I think in any other situation, you would agree with me. Yeah, we need these girls to, you know, we need girls in general to think like, oh yeah, that's bad behavior, right? But it's funny how, yeah, with Summer Rae and Layla, where they just, I do believe they work better as heels, you know? And it's strange how they really haven't been taken, like, the heel treatment really hasn't been, like, they, it's, okay, how do I explain this? They are, you know, at the show we saw them at, they acted like heels, in my opinion, right? Then, at this show, they were put against AJ and Paige, who are arguably faces right now, right? Hell, you'll still have Summer Rae make appearances on NXT, you know, with the BFFs. So you kind of sit around and think, wait, so what are you doing here? Like, we've realized that that was a bad, you know, that was a bad thing of you to do. Also, we're still bitches. Like, excuse me. First off, I don't use that word. WWE does. So it's like, oh, excuse me. What? Like, what is going on here? It's, so, yeah, it's a very weird thing, where it's just if they are going to be faces, they need to be booked as such a bit more, you know, closely, where it's just, and, although I will say, though, I do think they should have said this to Fandango weeks ago. And I understand that angles have to take a while, you know, money, stuff like that, ratings, but I feel like this was way drawn out to where we're sitting here thinking, finally!
Yeah, that's probably why it just feels so weird to me, because, like, you're right, if it was going to happen, why is it happening now?
Yeah, right, like, why not?
I mean,
at the,
I guess what you
pay-per-view
said, like, angles and everything else,
But still, it could have happened at the huge pay-per-view. You know, that whole, when pay-per-views are meant to kind of have, you know, what's it called, resolutions? Something like that. But, you know, whatever. What do I know? I'm not running the only million-dollar company. Sadly, they lost their billion.
Damn.
I actually feel kind of bad about that. No, because I know how you feel about people who have money, where you're just like, listen, they still have the millions. But still, how crazy is it where you're just there? You're just like, I've made it. you know, like, I become a billionaire. And it's like, actually, right, because of a mistake that technically wasn't your own specifically, you're now down to the millions again.
First world problems, you're only a millionaire.
Just, yeah, exactly. Just, sorry, you're only a multimillionaire now. Just, damn it.
We'll try.
Yeah. Well, hey, if it doesn't suck for the guys on top, it does suck for their employees. I'll say that much. You know, they took away catering. They, God, they've been doing random little things here and there that, no, but it's like they've been doing random little things here and there that make you think, huh, these guys are, I mean, think about it. You look at the house show schedule itself and you realize that these, some of these superstars and, you know, and these divas, these, just these wrestlers are really worked like dogs. Honestly. You know, I mean, like,
they travel
I mean,
too much and wrestle and physically exert themselves and then travel some more. And
yeah,
then they
I
don't
mean,
sleep.
Well,
and then
yeah,
they're taking away their food, apparently.
Exactly. And then taking away their jibs. Yeah, also, again, before we move on, I love Bo Dallas. I say again because I say this every single episode usually. Love Bo Dallas. I mean, just him giving advice to Fandango is just wonderful.
Bo's
so,
a good
yeah.
guy. He's inspirational.
Yeah, that's just what he is. You know, he wants to give everyone his best. You know, that's all it is. You know, he's not a jerk or anything. You know, he doesn't like just get angry and starts beating up people. It totally never happens, but except when
I
it does.
I believe.
I agree. You do believe. So anyway,
I'm a believer.
And then we have AJ and Paige versus Summer Rae and Layla, right? Which I've been saying the whole night. It was such a good match. It really was. And it had the ability to be such a better match. That's the thing where they haven't used Summer Rae to actually wrestle for real, right, for a while.
Yeah, they
cover
dance around the neck, though.
Which is so upsetting because she just can bring so much to this as a heel that it's wonderful. You know, where, I mean, yes, she was still dancing a bit, but I just felt as if she was just like, you know what, AJ, like, just screw you, you know, and it felt believable. See, that's the thing, where now we need to have her as a face, you know, it was just, that angle was just done in such a weird way. I feel as if the only reason they were on SmackDown today actually saying things like the way they were saying was because of the backlash they were getting. You know, because, I mean, I know that, you know, it was just probably me and Satish, you know, going off every week, and I'm sure no one from WWE actually listens to us, right? I would be lovely, but I assume that they don't. However, there's a good chance that, you know, real people, like as if Satish and I aren't real people, real people, you know, who aren't podcasters, are just sitting around going, that's actually really messed up that he's just doing that, and he just gets to walk away with the girl, right? People with daughters who kind of take the, because we saw, you know, a father take his daughter to the event. They both had Cena shirts on, you know, Madison Square Garden. Like, that happens, you know? You know, fathers take their daughters, you know, mothers take their daughters. Yeah, you know, it happens. You know, women can watch wrestling too. You're here.
And their
right?
sons. They don't need to be teaching their sons to play girls.
Of course, like that's a thing too, where it's just, you know, and I'm sorry I didn't focus on that. I only want to focus on women because, you know, that's just the last thing that we need, where we just need to see young girls thinking, so this is how I should act? You know, that's the last thing we need, you know. Because you have the media, you have this, you have that, and now you can't even have WWE. No, it's funny how I act as if WWE was ever a good role model source. But hey, you know, we're moving towards it. We're slowly, but we're kind of getting there. But anyway. So all four of these women, right, in this match were really good wrestlers, you know, and I wanted them to get so much more time on this card because it was and they were
it
just
was
really
short.
Good. It was too short. And then you have Paige being booked to look weak and, you know, I know AJ is the champ, but it just kind of got upsetting that AJ got the Cena treatment, like just, you know, smack out of nowhere. Just, all right, she needs to get the hot tag. And then, of course, because the match needs to end, right? They were given no chance, no time to really get over. Summer Rae just needs a tap immediately.
I don't like what they're doing with Paige and AJ. How Paige is mad at first, and then AJ's just smiling, and she's like, okay. And they even said, like, we're all frenemies. Like, no girl actually uses that term. Like, if you're using that term, then you're making a joke. You
right,
don't actually say, oh, yeah, that's my frenemy.
Right, yes, of course.
That doesn't
exist
in the world.
Yes. What I think is, here's the thing. That segment got me happy. I didn't hear the frenemy thing. I must have blocked that out because all I saw was Angry Paige. And Angry Paige is amazing Paige because what I think they're trying to do here is, see, again, this is WWE's fault, right? Not, you know, WWE's fault is that they're trying to make every single, they're trying to, okay, back in the day, right, what they would do, and they even did this recently, they would go, damn, we don't really have contenders for titles or stuff like this. Let's just throw in a person who doesn't look so much as, like, you know, like who could be a good contender, and it'll, like, you know, leave more room for when we want to have, you know, the contender actually be someone like, you know, Paige or someone big, right? So here's what I mean by this. What I mean is, instead of doing that now, they just like making trilogies where Bray Wyatt versus John Cena was three matches. It only had to be one or two, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, it was three because, right, because just drawing it out. So I would not be surprised if AJ and Paige go on up until SummerSlam, if not even a bit after. Right, so I think right now they're trying to do this slow build where Paige is just, you know, like I believe JBL completely for once, where JBL is just saying, you know, oh yeah, she's just, you know, playing her, she's just trying, and I think that's exactly what that is, which obviously is terrible because that's not who Paige is. Paige walks up to you and says, I'm gonna kick your ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paige doesn't go, oh, yeah, you know, we're frenemies, tee-hee. Like, that's not who she is. And, you know, I told you about this. We talked about this before. It gets me so upset that this is what Paige is becoming because this is not who Paige is. And I understand some people need little kind of twists to their character here and there to appeal to the main roster, but there is no reason why a woman who is badass cannot appeal to someone, right? Where they have to go, no, you have to understand, she can actually be good. You know, like, right then and there, it's like, you actually sound a bit sexist.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but,
it's messed up. I like badass women. What the hell?
Oh, yeah, I mean, the second...
Watch a weak little wrestler.
Hey, of course. That's what's funny, too, right? That's what's something really funny, too. You just said the magic words. I don't want to watch a weak wrestler because, yes, regardless of the magical terms that they use to try and sugarcoat it, you know, diva and superstar, they're wrestling at the end of the day. They're not sports mm-hmm. entertaining. They're wrestling. So at the end of the day, that is indeed what they're doing. So there's no reason for people to say, no, but you have to understand, you know, the women can't just look as good as the men. Like, what? You know, before we go, you know, before we move on, I want to speak to you about something really cool that you might enjoy. You don't know who Michelle McCool is. Sadly, Ashley is a bit new to wrestling, but thankfully she and I have the WWE Network, and that will, you know, she'll, you know, the gaps will be, you know, cleared, right?
I'll learn.
But it's okay. But Michelle McCool, right, was around for a while, you know, 2000s, and in, I believe it was 2009 at the Night of Champions pay-per-view, she actually did a DDT to her opponent off of the barricade. Right?
Nice.
And yes, obviously, it was really cool. So it was really cool, and they went to the back, you know, I forgot who won the match, it didn't matter, but they went to the back, and people were, like, kind of complaining, where someone, one of these officials kind of came up to them and said, hey, you know, you shouldn't be doing stuff like that, what if you guys get hurt? And then Michelle McCool said, oh, but, you know, like, everyone else, you know, the men can do stuff like that, too. And it was like, okay, well, the thing is you did that so well that the men kind of felt as if, you know, felt bad. They felt offended because some of them can't do stuff like that, right? Immediately.
Oh, my God. You should be telling me this. I'm feeling
rage. Guess who comes to the rescue? Chris Jericho walks up after hearing this and goes, well, then screw those guys, then. These two girls did an amazing DDT.
Yay! Y2J! Y2J!
That's why I was telling you those jokes. Both Tish Ram and I are going to make a meme where Chris Jericho just does really nice things, at first does very mean things, where she's like, Chris Jericho dumped his girlfriend in high school to get with the hot chick. 5 years later, he bought that ex-girlfriend a house. You know, things like that.
Yeah.
It's Chris Jericho to the rescue, right? I mean, how cool do you have to be? So, you know, you hear all this, you hear something like this, because the girls couldn't say anything because, you know, again, respectful. They were kind of not new, but, you know, they couldn't say something compared to a guy like Chris Jericho at the time, who in 2009, Chris Jericho had been around for so long that, you know, it would have been as if Undertaker had said something, right? So So obviously, you know, it doesn't, you know, he can come out and say that. And I was just extremely happy with that, you know. And of course, you know, we're getting better with women's wrestling, you know, day by day. But sadly, I wish I had waited for Paige, honestly, because we're in a weird spot right now where someone like Paige, you know, again, maybe one day, one day, a couple years from now, she'll be able to kind of find that groove and really be, you know, amazing at what she does and be badass. It's just upsetting that she came up at, you know, around a time where she was unable to be that cool, you know, because of, sadly, where WWE is. It's in a weird transitional phase right now, I would argue. But hey, we got Angry Paige.
How so?
Because we have an older Vince McMahon, right? And but he's not old enough to leave just yet, right? So when you have Vince McMahon, also Kevin Dunn. If you don't know who Kevin Dunn is, look him up. He's a terrible man. I'll tell you about him later, Ashley. Don't you worry. He's a terrible man. But yeah, he's also there as well. So with guys like that, who once Vince is out, you know, arguably everyone who Vince was like, yep, this is the good guy. This is a good guy. This is a good guy. Will probably be let go by Triple H, who's saying, yeah, no, you know, this person is probably sexist, this person's racist, you know, a lot of bad things, basically, where it's just kind of good to get those old guys out. And I'm sure old women as well, let's not discriminate. I'm sure there's some, you know, there could easily be some racist and sexist women in the WWE. Let's not discriminate here. So, you know, kind of just push them out and kind of get Triple H's, you know, new people in. Because, I mean, let's be honest here. You've seen NXT. You've seen the main roster. You can actually sometimes sit there and go, I would rather watch NXT today. And that's a huge problem.
Triple H knows what he's doing with that.
And that's a huge problem when, really, like, sit back and think, wait a minute, this is the minor leagues. You know, this isn't meant to be watched. You know, this is meant to be like, oh, yeah, cool, NXT. Oh, some of these guys are really cool. Oh, hey, that person botched. Well, I mean, they're new, right? You're not meant to look at NXT and go, damn, this is actually better. Damn, this is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I agree completely.
Let's move forward to something that was kind of, I found this really funny. Not the whole thing, by the way. That Uso segment with the Sonic thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What was your honest opinion on that segment?
It was cute, you know.
I know, it was
I want a slushy.
Fair enough, I want a slushy. Fair enough. Because, I mean, the M&M one, I was like, oh, actually that
slushy.
Sounds... Yeah, no, because the name sounded really interesting. And also, you're a fan of Sonic. You used to have Sonic. So, like, you're just more, you're biased towards Sonic. Yeah, you're biased towards it. But anyway, but seriously.
I miss Sonic and Newberg and the Hudson Valley.
She doesn't,
Sonic,
yeah, it's funny.
I miss
it's like,
you.
She doesn't live there anymore, so you can give them your entire address because you don't live there anymore. But anyway, so what I was going to say, though, is that, so yes, yeah, so of course, you know, it was cute, yes, but it wasn't really funny. It could have been written better. But the one thing I really want to say that I felt was just beautiful, right? I personally loved it. The fact that once, you know, Hornswoggle took the slushies away from both of the Usos, they just magically pulled slushies out of nowhere. As if to say, the Usos, with their magical Samoan powers, just have slushies, just available at any point, where they can just kind of just put their hand through, like, dimensional space and just pull out a slushie. And everyone's like, yeah, it's a Samoan thing, right? Yeah, it's a Samoan thing.
One slushie is never enough for an Uso.
Of course. No, because they're Uso crazy, right? I mean, am I right?
Right.
Or am I? Or is that a really bad catchphrase? I mean, I don't know. But, and
get
then...
over
oh,
it. Why do you hate it so much?
I actually don't hate it so much. It's just used very inappropriately, I think.
What,
like,
by me?
I,
because every time I've said it to you, you've just kind of had that kind of, like, march to
not
this.
You. I mean the WWE. That's the thing. Where we've had this, I swear, we
yeah,
have this
Yeah, but both
had this
times I've said it, not
listen,
even on
right?
this, totally
right.
separate from this podcast. Totally
listen,
separate.
Listen,
I'm calling
okay.
you out. You've given me a look like, please stop it.
Listen, okay, we don't have to talk about this right now, okay? We need to get Dr. Shelby in here for some, couples relations, remember? Dr. Shelby with Kane and Daniel Bryan?
I do not remember.
It's okay. Well, now I have a lot of
problems. We
can
have Michael Cole's
tonight.
Marriage counseling.
Oh, God. No, now we have a lot of promos to show you tonight. It's okay. You're going to get a lot of things in your Facebook inbox. But what matters is that, is that, speaking of two people arguing, right, Seth Rollins and Kane, right, what I found, again, something else that I found funny that I don't know if, like, you picked up on, I find it really funny that Kane actually somewhere thinks, don't you cash the Money in the Bank, you know, briefcase on me when I win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I wanted to think, how funny do you find it, though, that Kane will be standing, you know, strong against Roman Reigns, John Cena, and Randy Orton, and then Seth Rollins will come in to try and get
he's a
that.
Demon.
Yes, yeah,
the
that's right.
He's favorite a demon.
What
are you thinking? Why are you speaking like this about Kane? He's the devil's favorite demon.
About our Lord and Savior. I'm so sorry. You're right. Kane has an equal chance of winning against any of those three people in the same exact match. There's
more
not one person. No, what I'm going to say is this much, right? The devil's favorite demon, the demon Kane, right? Those odds, the odds of, you know, no one can crush him except for John Cena. Just, you know, just that picture where it's just John Cena looking at you, those are some insurmountable odds. It would be a shame if someone overcame them. That's all I'll say. That's all I'm going to say to that. When you have John Cena in a match, when you have John Cena in a match, everyone else just has to look at themselves and go, like, okay, like Quantum Leap, right? If anyone's seen Quantum Leap, basically, you know, when the guy travels back into the past, which you should see, by the way, he looks into a mirror and he sees someone who isn't himself, but, you know, because he's, like, basically in, like, other people's bodies, right, in a way, because it's, like, it's a weird kind of time travel thing, right? What matters is, when you're in a match with John Cena, look in a mirror because you're Zack Ryder. It doesn't matter who you were before. Just look in a mirror, and you're Zack Ryder. Actually, I feel really bad now. With the way he woos, I feel like Ric Flair got brain damage. I just realized that, the way we just did that right there. So now I feel really bad, where it's like as if Ric Flair fell on his head a bit too many times, which he has, honestly, already, and now he has brain damage. But it's okay, though, because the main event, actually, it's not okay. The main event made me feel like I did have brain damage, because Dean Ambrose versus Kane lasted about a good 5 minutes, and you realize at this point, damn, you know, like, Kane, you're old. You know, you really need to be protected. And it feels really bad because he's not a bad worker. That's why he's fighting against some of these guys. He's a good worker. But he really needs to be protected. I mean, this match lasted 5 minutes. Like, how bad is that? Because clearly, you know, clearly Ambrose did not need to be protected. You know, this guy is really young. Mm-hmm. He's agile. He knows exactly what he can do in the ring.
Ambrose,
you know, he's
is perfect.
Exactly. I agree completely, 100%. You know, he's perfect. So, Kane, you know, it's just, that's such a bad, and then, of course, it was a smaz finish, you know, as we expected. Ambrose, you know, Rollins comes in, you know, hits Ambrose, it's a DQ, stands over his body, and you're sitting there thinking, wait, do I want to watch this pay-per-view?
Seriously.
And then here we are. We're at the end, Ashley didn't fall asleep. It's okay. Ashley was very tired, everyone, because SmackDown was basically singing her a lullaby.
Yeah, I'm really sorry that I've been a little quiet on this one, guys.
It's okay, it's okay.
It's not my fault. It's SmackDown. Why did you do this to me, SmackDown? Why?
It's okay. It's okay, everyone. Everyone, give Ashley a round of applause. No, they're applauding you, don't worry.
I just said I can hear it.
Oh, good. I'm happy. We need to take you to a doctor. Oh, God, no. Not the doctor. We need to take you to but seriously, though, if you could hear clapping, that's actually a severe issue. I don't think that you're supposed to hear clapping. I'm going to be honest with you.
Clap, clap, clap.
It's okay, Ashley. It's okay. I'm going to play your favorite superstar's ending. Hopefully you enjoy
God.
It. Shut up. Hopefully you enjoy it. Everyone, have a lovely night. I'm happy that you heard this podcast, you know, and that you enjoyed it with us. And, yeah,
good
of
night.
Course, you know, No, and before we go, though, definitely check out Battleground that we're going to be doing on Sunday with or without Satish, you know, Satish Ram, hopefully with Satish Ram. It'll be, you know, Sunday at what time? 11. And also, by the way, you know, check us out. Those Guys on the Radio is our Facebook page, or just search up Those Guys. That's where you'll find out, you know, the link and things like that. And, yeah, you know, thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. And we are signing out. Ashley Colpan's favorite superstar loves him to death over Bray Wyatt and everyone else.
Can't turn the swell off. The franchise doing big business. I live this, it's automatic. I win this, so you hear those horns, you finish. A soldier, and I stay under you fighting. Plus I'm storming on these chumps like I'm thunder and lightning. Ain't no way you breaking me, kid. I'm harder than nails. Plus I keep it
remember,
all locked like I'm
Sunday
hard as nails. Slaughtering
the
nails. I got the whole block wishing they could run with my division, but they gone fishing. With no bait, kid, your boy hold weight. I got my soul straight. I brush your mouth like Colgate. In any weather, I'm never better. Your boy's so hot, you never catch me in the next man's sweater. If they hate, let them hate. I drop your whole clan. Lay your ass down for the 3 seconds.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me,
yeah.
My time is now.
It's gonna be what it's gonna be. 5 pounds of courage, buddy, babe. 10 pants with a gold tee. It's a war dance, a victory step. A boss stance is a gift, and you insist it's my rep. John Cena trademark, y'all are so-so. And talk about the bread you make, but don't know the recipe for dodo. Aiming guns in all your photos, that's a no-no. When this pop, your lip lock, your big socks are blatant no-so. See what happens when the ice age melts. It seems monetary status is not what matters, but it helps. I rock a timepiece by Benny, if any. The same reason y'all could love me is the same reason y'all condemn me. A man's measured by the way that he thinks. Not clothing lines, ice links, leather and minks. I spent 20 plus years seeking knowledge itself. So for now, Mark Fred is living life for wealth.
Your time is up.